Right, if you're making notes, we're in Jonah 4. Jesus is better at being angry than Jonah. That's the sermon title. Jesus is better at being angry than Jonah is. Hopefully that'll make sense. Now, I am in a massive debt here to Stephen Clark, whose sermons on chapter 4 have been great. I pinched some of his stuff for tonight. Last time, which was probably before December, when we went into Christmas mood, we asked, have you ever had your faith tested, really tested, or have you ever met a believer that packs it all in when something they don't like happens and they leave church, or someone suffers and they say, that's it, I'm done. And we looked at Jonah having his faith tested at the end of chapter 3 and the start of chapter 4. And in the original, it's interesting, the wordplay. Anybody remember the word that's repeated a lot towards the end of chapter 3 in the original and the writer plays on it? Anybody got a photographic memory? Although you wouldn't have taken a photograph of my words, would you? Well, the answer is evil. It was evil to Jonah. A great evil had happened and Jonah's angry. So the play is Nineveh was evil, but they turned from their evil. So God turned from his evil of sending them a punishment for their evil. And Jonah found that evil. Okay? And then and then we asked, because he prays, is it right to have angry prayers? And we looked at people in the Bible who pray really angry prayers at God. All right? And we did conclude that there's a place for that. But anyway, we're now in chapter 4 again, verses 1 to 3, but we'll go to 4. So, Mrs. Knott, can you read in a nice loud voice, please, Jonah 4, verses 1 to 4, but really 1 to 3. Okay, so today, what happens when we disagree profoundly with God? How are we to be? When you live a day and something so profound happens and you cannot believe it's been allowed. God's unscrutable ways. I really think there's two options. We're either, as Christians, going to go harder or we're going to go softer spiritually as a result of something profound happening that we don't agree with. But I'll ask the question again. What happens when we disagree profoundly with God? My brother-in-law, who, and I posted this to you on WhatsApp this week, last week. He is in London, and there's a man his age in London who's got a wife, and they've got 6 children. And like 2 months ago, or 1 month ago, less than a month, so they got 6, and the wife is pregnant with their 7th. I think it's either that or pregnant with the 8th. Anyway. A couple of weeks ago then, we'll just say that for argument's sake, she cut her finger and she got blood poisoning. And then her brain swelled and then she slipped into a coma. So the pastor, because he's a pastor, her husband, has been sharing his thoughts about how hard this is and how unexpected. It was from a cut finger. And then they had to rescue the baby with an emergency C-section the week before last. And then a few days later, the mother died, leaving behind a man with 7 or 8 children. I think it might be 7. All, I think, under the age of 10. The unscrutable ways of God. When something happens that we might profoundly disagree with, it happens. And it will happen in 2019, in some way or another, to us. When God's way is done in a way which runs different to the way that you would do it, what do we do? It's a massive subject, really, tonight. Here, Jonah is angry because of what God is like and what God has done. Incidentally, what has God done which has angered? Saved a load of people that were not Israelites. They were Ninevites. And Jonah is angry at what God is like and what he has done. So here's a question, really, that the whole sermon hinges on tonight. And I've been posting it to you today to get you thinking. What is it that Jonah is so angry about? Okay, you say, well, he showed mercy to Nineveh. All agree? Okay, yeah. What is it, though, about showing mercy to Nineveh which has made Jonah be angry at God and disagree with him profoundly? Yeah, he showed mercy. But why is that a cause of anger to Jonah? Key in this chapter. Sorry, Angie? He doesn't think they... Ah, okay, yeah, that's one. I'll go on then, rifle out some of your answers then. And I'm going to give you a few to think about. And then I'm going to give you another one. But yes, anyone else can think of a different one too. He doesn't think they deserve it.
They were the enemies of Israel, so basically God just saved their enemies.
God has just saved their enemies of Israel.
They were particularly vicious people.
They were, well, that's the same as Angie's point, isn't it? They don't deserve it for being particularly vicious. She stole your point there, Angie, but I picked up on it. All right, I'm going to get into why he might be, because it does speak into 2018 to our churches. He does say God is gracious and merciful and of kindness, but what's your point there? Yeah, but I'm asking, what is it about God being gracious and merciful to Nineveh which has caused this uproar?
So,
yeah, which is Angie's point, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, we'd all have a go at nicking your point, Angie, sure is.
Yeah, you just read. Yeah, yeah, fine. It's the same thing. They don't deserve it. It's unjust. Yeah. Right, okay. Here's some various views that people think about why he's angry at this act of mercy. Here's the first one. And they're all super important. He feels this. It's okay to be merciful, but not to them because they're so evil. Is that Angie's point? They're so evil. That's Mrs. Knott's point. It's like, oh, not them. Not them. Is that behind it? For example, it looks like this in 2018, just in case we, again, are having a pop at Jonah here as if we're somewhat different. But let's say we run Life Explored. It might go like this. Well, I'll invite so-and-so, but not so-and-so, because they've hurt me. Is that a bit... of what's going on here with Jonah? You can save so-and-so, but not them, because dot, 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 dot. When we hear the words of Jesus and we nod, the words about Jesus, he didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance, and we all nod, but is it that Jonah has drawn a line and he's like, okay, I like that sentiment, but not if it's them that God is going to call to repentance? So in other words, and here's the danger of the thought, and maybe it is like Jonah. I get it that he would save someone like me and bring me into the church because I'm here, but not them. I've got loads to offer, but they haven't.
Are you being like a Pharisee then? Because then you're saying,
yes, it's double standard. And I'm just trying to tease that if we're going to have a pop at Jonah, we too can slip into this one. Like we would say... oh, I'm the vilest of sinners. But does Jonah here think that he's not in the same boat as the vilest of sinners? There's a line there with them. They are the worst. Now, it's not 2018, is it?
No.
2019. It's a dead sure way for us not to pay attention to Jesus in 2019 if we are constantly focusing on the sins of others. It's like Jesus is of no value to me at all then. Because, a bit like Jonah, I'm looking at others and just thinking about how bad they are. We're horrified at the sin in others all the time. Is that a bit of what's going on with Jonah? Anyone, Lord, but then. See, we can say we want non-Christians to flood this church. But that can be an abstract concept. What if, though... we hone it in and it's the local paedophile, the local drug dealer, the person that's wronged us, the person that lied to us. Yeah, we love non-Christian ethereal people in our head, that concept to be saved, but not him. Maybe that's Jonah's problem here, and we are to avoid that like the plague, because Jonah doesn't want these people in the kingdom of God. Jesus does. Jesus does. Is Jonah a bit like that? Let me tease this out a bit. Would you let someone cut your hair who's a gossip?
Isn't that the definition of a hairdresser?
Would you let... I don't know, because I've done mine for the last 10 years. Next question. Would you let someone cut your hair who's been convicted of rape? If they both walked in the church now, would you see that they both need the Lord equally? It's not the Ninevite and then the person who's better. It's they both need Jesus. And it might mean that one needs special counseling over another, though maybe not. But Jesus calls both to repent. The message goes out equally to both. And, you can throw hymn books at me at this point though, Jesus would treat both with equal dignity as human beings. It's not the rapist over there who we are not going to invite or talk to, but the gossip will get them to be a deacon. You know? You've got to watch that sort of... If that is Jonah's problem, be careful of making a tier system of sin. Now, I say that as one who appreciates there are deeper consequences to some sins than another. Are you heckling? Do you want something yet over there? Someone? Oh, it's you. Yes. Hello, Jimmy. Fire away.
Well, you just touched on the point I was going to make. And...
Exactly. And, of course, we wouldn't give Derek the Peter Vala job with the youth work, but we are to watch how we treat people, lest we fall into the same trap as Jonah here. Although I don't actually think Jonah is falling into this trap.
Well, I didn't make my point. I almost concluded it. But I think that...
Okay, and I'm talking to the recesses and inner parts of our heart, even if we don't express it, and calling us to avoid that type of danger. Would we talk behind one of their... We're back to the gossip and the rapist. Would we talk behind one of their back about them more than we would the other? To watch that. Would we pray for one less than we would pray for the other? Would we do good works for one more than for the other? You're hard-pressed to find that in the life of Jesus Christ. Indeed, all sorts of common sense would need to be applied. Indeed. I'm just... How we approach people fundamentally, we're on a level playing field. And the gospel is to go out equally to both. And with the gospel, respect as human talking to human is to go out equally to both. As well as being disgusted with various sins. Jonah shouldn't be angry at them. All right. Be careful though, because we too might have a problem with certain sins over another, to the point where we won't even witness to people or be angry if God saves someone that we think has crossed a line against us. Or, second option, is he, and this is sort of Gemma's point, is he worried that because God saves Nineveh, is he annoyed, really angry, because the Assyrians, because Nineveh was the great city of Assyria, has historically been at war with the Israelites? I think that was Jeremy's point. And they have the capacity to wipe out the Israelites. And so we've got the great city of the Assyrian Empire, and the previous century to this, King Ahab lost 2,000 chariots and 10,000 men to the Assyrians. And Nineveh is their great city. Is Jonah miffed at that? Does anyone think that, by the way, that might be going on? Shaking the head from Angie. Nod of the head from Mrs. Knott. 60 years before that Ahab incident, during the time of King Jehu, the Assyrians imposed a tribute law upon Israel and other nations that they had to pay them because they are so great and such a superpower. And lo and behold, the key city in that empire has been saved. Does showing mercy to them mean death to the Israelites or any nation? Are they going to be able to get too close to Israel? Or, and this is tied, so this is still point two, is Jonah being racist and a bit nationalistic? Nod of the head from two. Has Jonah forgotten that God hates racism and nationalism over another group of people? God is a respecter of no persons in that sense, isn't he? Or nationality. Now, does anybody remember why Miriam is chastised in Numbers chapter 12? I'll give a point for the shop, if anybody can. Fire away! All right, I'll tell you. Miriam is chastised in Numbers 12 because Moses' wife is a Cushite, not of the tribe, and probably black. Can you say black these days? Wait, what? No, she's Cushite. And what happens, does anybody remember how God actually teaches Miriam a lesson not to be racist and nationalistic and to make sure the gospel is equally out to all? Does anyone remember what he does, ironically? He strikes her down with the skin disease, and the text says, made her white as snow for her hatred for the non-whites, I guess. We say Jonah shouldn't be a nationalist, but in 2018, be sure in this church, we do not think Welsh people are more important to God than the English. Not one nation has got an inside track to God, have they? Not in any inherent way, anyway. Sometimes nations get close to God because they meet Jesus. But there's nothing inherent within a nation for God to think, oh, they're lush. Tell you what, I'll have dealings with them. Mrs. Knott, do you remember in the Vietnam War? Do you remember the Americans always saying that God was on their side? You get that a bit at the moment in American politics. No, I don't. Yeah. Joshua 5. Do you remember the Lord is standing there in the army holding a sword? And Joshua says to him, are you with us or against us? Anybody remember what he says? I'm the commander of the Lord's army. Oh, okay. If Jonah here is angry because God's showing favor to non-Jews, he's wrong. Where it is to do with the gospel, we are all on a level playing field. Levi Batstone has as much inherent value to the living God as the Pope. And so do you. Next one. I'm surprised no one heckled me with this one. Is he angry that his own reputation is on the line? How might that be? Yes, Mrs. Knott. Maybe. Go on. In what way would his reputation be on the line? Oh, yeah, do you mean like...
And he went to preach to them.
He went to preach to them. Wait, what? How does that mean his reputation? Oh, yeah, because his friends would be like, what are you doing preaching to them? Okay, yeah, all right. That's another way. That's not the way I meant it. Jimmy, just read chapter 1, verse 2, please. And remember Jonah's commission. Right, what was his calling? To cry out against it. And his judgment, it was to tell them how many days have they got till God's judgment comes? Anybody remember? Yeah, 40. But did that happen? No. People might think that he is a false prophet. Because the destruction of Nineveh did not happen within 40 days. Would he be a laughing stock? No one will listen to me anymore. Will I go back to Israel and preach to them and they won't listen to me and they'll carry on in their sin because nothing I say comes to pass? Is that why he's angry? Will you let him off the hook a bit now? I don't know, but I do know this. Our witness is important. People won't come to this church if our lives run dead against what we preach. Do you want a water, Jimmy? People will not come here if our lives run in dead contradiction to our words. We must not be accused of this. They are just like us, but they just go to church twice a week. All right, so after all that, why is Jonah angry that the Lord has shown mercy to Nineveh? I am with Matthew Henry and Stephen Clark. And the answer is this. We don't really know. Because it doesn't say in the text. Rather, the text causes us to think a different thing in this story. Now, Marcus, can you just read Exodus 34, verse 6? And Lynette, could you reread verse 2? Because this is Jonah's fundamental understanding of who God is. In verse 2. I knew. What's his fundamental understanding of who this God is? That you are what? A gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Marcus, this is a fundamental understanding of who God is by all Israelites. Just hit us with Exodus 34 verse 6. And you see it over and over again in the Psalms and in other prophets. So he knew that. But he's angry that God was who he said he was. He showed mercy. So the issue is, he thinks God is now, in and of himself, immoral, wrong, and evil to act in mercy. So God has acted in mercy. Jonah's like, I knew you'd do that. So what's the problem? The problem is, he thinks in his acting mercifully to these people, he's done wrong, and I'm angry. He's immoral to have done that. It's evil. Why? Could be any of the reasons we said. Maybe it's none of them. But all we know is, he is angry because God is who he is. He has a fundamental issue with who God is at the heart of it. So all we need to face is this. Jonah no longer liked God. Full stop. Why? Don't really know. But he's at one of those times that we all will face where we're really pushed on whether or not we love him for who he is and what he's done. We don't agree with his character. That's where Jonah's at. When David, do you remember David being angry in, is it 2 Samuel? When Uzzah was killed for touching the Ark of the Covenant, David was angry. Job got angry. We can get a bit above ourselves. Maybe Jonah has here. A know-it-all. Now, in 2019, I hope we all grow in the teaching of the word. I tell you a danger. To avoid becoming a know-it-all in the things of God. This is especially a danger with young men. When we outgrow ourselves in the knowledge of God and we withdraw from helping people at home or in work and doing fundamental things because we're always in the study and in chats we get an opportunity and we just lecture people and we never want to hear and be swift to hear. We need to be more slow to speak. And I wonder, is that Jonah's problem here? He's a know-it-all. He tied God up in a box. He became a know-it-all. God acted in a way he didn't want. He's angry. Watch for that in 2019. Right, let's wrap this up. Jonah here is not doing a good job of submitting. There you go, Angie. That's my dig at Jonah. It's taken 13 sermons. Jonah is not doing a good job here of submitting to God. He's falling into the trap of paying lip service to, yes, okay, God, I will always trust in your inscrutable, sovereign, amazing ways. But then when he does something, instead of going, now I will trust, he's like, kill me, I'm done with you. That's wrong. Let me push this. What if God never saves your family members? Would you still trust his inscrutable ways? What if God calls someone home that you love in 2019? Will you still trust his inscrutable sovereign ways? What if it's your child? What if it's a parent? What if you lose your job and your health? What if you really say at times, when all things seem against me? That's where Jonah's at. That's where we might be at this year, when we really work through the implications of God being on the throne. Sometimes he might even judge people that we love and call them to the end of their lives. I've been reading Leviticus with Rita. We said the other day, there's so much bloodshed. It's like a butcher's job being a priest. And we concluded, we have very little grasp on the seriousness of sin. All that blood required to atone for sinful acts. We mustn't sanitize the Bible and sanitize God's inscrutable ways and sort of tie him up in a neat, fluffy, lovey-dovey American Bible verse and think, there we are. He's just happy with everyone all the time, and come to Jesus and nothing ever will go wrong again. Stephen Clark put it like this. We might sing there is a higher throne, but in 1966, when a slurry of coal dust, which by the way was due to the neglect of authorities at the time, not doing what they should have done, but it engulfed a school. God let that happen in Abervan, didn't he? He let that happen. Sometimes he does. So we're in that sort of area. Jonah doesn't say, God isn't there. That's the easy way out. He says this, you are there and you're immoral for what you have allowed and done. He doesn't backtrack. He confronts it honestly. So what are we to do if such things are written in our life's calling and purpose? Tonight then, as we close, this is key to being equipped as men and women of the Word of God. I think we're to remember this. Jesus shows us that evil bothers God even more than it bothers us. Jesus shows us that God wants justice even more than we do. Jesus shows us that what God wants is right and good. Is the God here that Jonah serves awful? He can't be, because Christ reveals this God. What do we do then? Well, Don Carson says this. When you handle something tough in life, you go to the Bible, and the Bible is like a jigsaw. And you put all the bits of what you know together from the Bible of God as you're trying to form who he is now in your difficult calling, whatever might come your way. You've got to form who is this God that's allowing it. So you get in your pieces from your Bible. But, Don Carson says, there are some bits of this jigsaw missing, which will never be revealed to us until our last day, where we stand before him. And they're missing because the Bible itself says the secret things belong to God. So there are some things we will never know the answer to. But we put together what we know, and it helps us to think properly. What we don't do is fill in the blanks with our own ideas, which we've drawn from our own experience and present culture in 2018. It's a dead ringer to fall into error. I think that's what Jonah's doing. He's filled in a blank. He's assumed something about the Ninevites. They can't be saved. That's wrong. Therefore, my picture of God has changed. You're immoral. But here's the problem. If you're going to deduce what we know of God in 2019 from the Bible, you cannot conclude that God is evil. Because the Bible says he's compassionate and good. So you piece together what we know of God from his word. You don't fill in the blanks, so we cannot be led to the position in our difficult times and to say he's evil for doing that. He's immoral. It's a logical quandary. You cannot take a bit of the Bible and a bit of something else. We get our knowledge of God from the Bible. And here's the key. You look at who God is chiefly through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the express image of God. And in our jigsaw, the central piece of knowing who God is and why he allows things is Jesus Christ. The lens of getting an understanding of who God is. And Jesus Christ cried at death, sin, and decay. When his friend Lazarus died, he cried. Now, I don't actually think it was because Lazarus died, because a few moments later, he's going to raise Lazarus back up. I think what Jesus Christ is crying at and hates, what he's angry at, is the sin behind it all. That someone can even die. That there's havoc in the world and suffering and misery. The God of the Bible is moved. So when Jesus gets angry, it's for better reasons than Jonah has. He's grieved in his soul. That is the jigsaw to reveal the living God. Jonah cannot believe something like this would be allowed. But it's a God who weeps over sin. A God who sent his son to tackle the reason there's sin. The demonic darkness which is wrecking planet Earth. He gave his life to beat that foe. And our God delights in mercy. So how can God be merciful to evil people? Because on Good Friday, outside the city walls, his beautiful son hung there and took the wrath that sinners deserve. And Jonah should have known better here. It delights the Lord for people to be saved. So this year, if you don't like God, if you believe he's evil, tell him. But ask him to show us more of himself and more of us and more of Jesus Christ. For his name's sake, amen.